I want to share with you today an incredible story out of the Bible. You know, Jesus had just left the temple where he'd overturned. Well, matter of fact, he went to church and caused a disturbance. Can you imagine that? Drove out the money changers, all these things. They were walking along. He sees this fig tree thinking he's going to get some fruit off of it. And lo and behold, it looked like it ought to have some, but it didn't have any. So he ends up cursing the tree. A few days later, he and his disciples were walking by the same pathway, and lo and behold, the tree is all withered away. And they began asking questions to Jesus, like, whoa, dude, what did you just do? I mean, you spoke to this tree, and look at it now. They were all up in arms. They couldn't quite understand what was going on. And Jesus said something that's so powerful, and it's our text today that I want to spend a few minutes with you on. It's in Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. You don't have a Bible, you can look on the screens, and we'll do our best to keep up with that. But basically, he said this. He said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now, I don't know if you would feel the way I would feel if I was one of those disciples, and I just saw this tree withered up based on the curse that he offered to this tree. Also, just came from church, and he turned up the tables, he drove people out of church, he caused a ruckus, and now he's saying, have faith in God. But he said, have faith in God for a purpose. I like what Numbers 23 says, that God is not a man that he should lie. Listen, there are a lot of people today that have more faith in man than they do God. But can I tell you today, God is not a man. Neither is a Democratic Party or Republican Party. Come on, no nation either. You know, some may proclaim themselves as being God, but they're not. There is only but one God. Amen? And he's been given a name among men whereby we must be saved. And it is the name of what? Jesus. You see, he was the God that became man. So we don't trust in man. We put our trust in God. And that's exactly what Jesus was saying to his disciples. He said, I want you to have faith in God. Now, it's interesting when he uses the word faith. Because there are a lot of people today who have belief. There are people that adhere to principles. They have mental assent. But we're talking about having faith in God. You see, there is no evidence of faith without a corresponding and parallel act. Faith without action is fake. Faith is a reflective act. It has to be known. It is seen. It is manifest. It is a substance, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 tells us. So whatever you are saying or believing God for, we can't act contrary to what we're believing or act contrary to what we're saying because you disqualify yourself for the answer. It's all about corresponding lifestyle. Faith is a life, and we'll see that in just a moment. You know, faith isn't just knowledge. Some people think it is. If knowledge was enough, then Jesus would have never had to come to earth and die on a cross. Because he could have remained the Word. Because in the beginning was the Word, right? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But it became flesh and it dwelt among us. Why? Because knowledge about God isn't enough. There has to be faith. And faith requires action. Faith requires relationship. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And he's saying, look, don't be all concerned about this act and that act. Have faith in God. I don't want you to see that this is all about what I do. It's all about how you live. He was really instructing them in eternal life. Now, in my 50th birthday, which was a few years ago, some of you didn't know me then. I was a bit crazy back then. And I thought, you know, for my 50th birthday, I'm going to do something totally out of the ordinary. I want to go skydiving. And so I got on a plane. I went to Oahu. What a greater place to say goodbye to your friends and family than Hawaii. I got on an airplane and up to 13,000 feet we went. Matter of fact, my wife said I actually showed that video clip here at the church, but I don't remember if I did or not. But it actually shows me jumping out of the airplane. I didn't want to bore you with that again, so I didn't want to amuse you with that again, so I didn't bring it today. But I want you to know something. That act required a lot of faith. It was a corresponding action to what I was believing. Now, can I help you with what I started to believe in? I believed in the guy that I was hooked to in a tandem jump. I did ask him this. Have you ever done this before? He said, oh, I've jumped out 30 times just today. I said, okay, well, I got more confidence now. Because if you know what you're doing, I'm with you. Okay, we're good. I thought we were going to have some training for this particular event. I really did. So they took us in a room and started showing us videos. And for about 10, 15 minutes, there was an instructional video on how you can die doing this. It really was. It was a death instruction. Then they took me from there into another room and had all this paperwork on the table. And they said, you have to sign all of these things. I said, what is it? He goes, it's signing your insurance company so that they're not liable if you die. This is that you wouldn't hold us liable. This is signing off so that there can be no lawsuit by your family because you were stupid today. You know, all. After I did all that, I thought, well, when are you going to teach me how to do this? He said, put your gear on. So I put my gear on and we started walking to the airfield. And I'm still thinking, okay, where's the instruction coming? We get to the airplane and he said, oh, by the way, before we get on board, let me tell you what we're going to do. I said, finally. He said, we get down, you squat like a duck. And when we get over to the door of the plane, you squat over to the edge, look out over 13,000 feet. And when I say jump, you jump. Oh, he said, put your head back and then arc your back like that when we go down. He said, I want you to hear me. If you don't do that, we're going to go into a tailspin and we're going to die. You got it? I got it. Yeah, I got it. Head back, back arch, got it. When they called for the us to get ready, they said, okay, we've reached the altitude, 13,000 feet. There were seven of us on board. I happened to be the first in line. He said, okay, let's go. I said, now? He said, right now. So I waddled over to the edge. I looked out at the door and I thought, well, why not? He said, jump. And I said, okay, don't tell me twice. And I jumped. After I jumped, I thought, what was I thinking? I put my head back, arched my back, and suddenly we were floating like a bird. It was the coolest thing. And then I started to think, I wonder who packed this parachute. I never saw him pack this parachute. I wonder if I have a parachute. What if they didn't fold it right? What happens if it doesn't open? What happens if this guy that packed the parachute was still drunk from the night before? I never even saw him. That, my friends, is living by faith. Oh, no, no, I don't want you to approach God that way. But what I'm saying is I made a decision of action based on what I believed. In other words, I believe that somebody packed it right. I believe these people knew what they were doing. They looked like a bunch of beach bums. I got to tell you, man, they were like, oh my, hang loose, you know, that kind of guy. They were hang loose, man. Cut offs, no slippers, no shoes, no nothing. Just bare feet, long hair, hadn't shaven. Okay, I'm going to do this. And off I went. Faith is really making a quality decision about what you believe. You know, when it comes to the kingdom of God, there are no guarantees when you trust in man that your chute will ever open. Because man will fail you. Today my heart is heavy. I've got to tell you, my heart is heavy over the allegations and the accusations brought against one of our greatest leaders in our country today in Atlanta, Georgia, Bishop Eddie Long. Whether guilty or not guilty, my heart is heavy. And I do know this, as much as he may love God, Whether it's right or wrong, listen, I know this. Men make mistakes and err. Because if you put your trust in how they pack the chute, you are going to live a risky life. That's why today we have to have faith in God. Did you notice Jesus didn't say, have faith in Lou? He didn't say, have faith in Peter. Have faith in our denomination. Have faith in what you've learned as a child growing up in religion. He said, have faith in God. Come on, say that with me. Have faith in God. See, you and I have to turn our focus away from everything that we have been taught as a child. That we can have faith in institutions, our governments, our political parties. We need to learn how to have faith in God. Listen to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. The Bible says, read it with me. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, you may have gone to Sunday school all your life, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're living by faith. You may have attended church, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're living by faith. Because you see, we can take things about God and we can have a belief about God, but never get to the window and jump. Never make a decision to trust in everything He's taught us, in everything God has done. Until we come to that point of complete and abandoned trust, we haven't really reached the level of faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. For the Bible says the just shall live by faith. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But I want to tell you a story of a family who was visiting our nation's capital. They had gotten to the National Mint and were told by a workman in the smelting works in that National Mint that if you dipped your hand in water, that the ladle could be poured, the contents could be poured on your palm without burning it. The worker looked over at the husband and said, sir, perhaps you'd like to try it. He looked back at the workman. He goes, nah, I believe what you say. I prefer to take your word on it. He looked over at his wife. He said, ma'am, how about you? She said, certainly. It's amazing how women are so responsive, you know. She said, certainly. She thrust her hand down in the bucket, pulled it up, still dripping with water. He took the contents of that ladle and poured it right in the palm of her hand. And it did not burn her. She had a big smile on her face. Her husband just stood there in awe and in shock. The worker, turning to the husband, said, you, sir, believed, but your wife, she trusted. It's a corresponding act. What God's calling for a generation to do today is not just to believe in God, because the Bible says in James that even demons believe and tremble. But He's looking for a people who will trust in the Lord and lean not on their own understanding, but have faith in God. Come on, say that with me. Have faith in God. You see, that woman had faith based on what she was told, because she had corresponding action. It was a decision based on the information received. It needs to impact us where we live every day. You see, living by faith, Romans chapter 1 and verse 17 says, it is the mandate of every believer. And I want to challenge us as we look at that. Listen to the scripture. Let's read it together. Ready? For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. A lot of interpretations can be read this way. The just shall live by his faith. But the just shall live by faith. You see, someone once wrote, worry is the interest we pay on trouble before it's even due. So many times we're worried about things that haven't even occurred yet. And to have faith in God is to make a decision about what we believe. To put our hand in the bucket. To strap on the parachute and say, you know what? I believe in the person who packed this chute. In other words, I'm going to take the principles of this word and I'm going to live them. Let's break it down a little bit. Let's go to the Greek. Romans chapter 1 and 17. Put it back up on the screen. I want us to read it again. Ready? Let's read it. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, when we read that, traditionally we have looked at that scripture and we said, you know, live by faith. I have faith in who God says he is. But notice the two words that are connected, live and faith. Faith is living. You cannot live for God without faith. James said it this way, show me your faith and I'll show you my works. Because works apart from faith is dead. And it's not just the social gospel we're talking about. The works are the works of righteousness that are imparted into a man or a woman's life that changes their behavior, that alters their personality. Now, on my 60th birthday, which is only a few months from now, I'm already planning my big to-do. My son and I are going to climb Mount Rainier in the state of Washington. Don't ask me why. I'm just going to go do it. I've already been told I need to start training for it now. I need to put a 70-pound backpack on and start climbing on a treadmill up the hill and do that for about a half hour a day so I can get ready. I'm thinking if I do that between now and next August, there's no way I can climb that mountain. But look at the definition in the Greek. Can you put that up there for me, guys? This is a powerful definition of Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. Because he tells us simply there that it is behavior. Do you have it back there? There we go. It means this. The just shall live by faith actually can be interpreted this way. The individual whose personality and behavior are acceptable to what God thinks. Now watch. Speaks. No. I didn't finish that. Okay. Speaks. Let's leave it up there. Speaks and acts as one who loves, seeks, relies on, hopes in, obeys, and trusts God. So a person who's actually living by faith is a person whose personality and behavior are acceptable to what? To what God thinks. Don't give a hoot what you think. Now watch, because this is important. We have become so politically correct in this hour, in this generation, that we are more moved and concerned about what other people think than we do what God thinks. But living by faith, you are moved, you are molded, you are shaped, not by what others concede, or not by what others summarize for life, but basically what God thinks. See, when you think about repentance, the only way into the kingdom of heaven is if a man repents. And repent is not necessarily stop kicking the dog and spitting and cussing and going out on Saturday night. All of those are advisable to cease in your life as well. However, what repent means is change the way you think. The individual whose personality and behavior are acceptable to what God thinks. To what God thinks. And ladies and gentlemen, today we are moved by what other people think. Majority rules. But can I tell you, we're living in an hour that we can't be moved by what the majority say. We can't be moved by what the doctor may say. We can't be moved by what our past may speak to us about or what our present confronts us and tries to intimidate us with. We have got to have faith in God. And to have faith in God simply means this, that my personality and behavior are acceptable to what God thinks. Now you spend enough time with a person and you'll really get to know that person. Because upon the first meeting, you know, everybody's kind and cordial. When the congresswoman came in my office this morning, she was kind and cordial. Her staff spoke wonderfully. And they gave me all kinds of compliments. Called me Dr. Kayton. I started feeling like a somebody. I said, whoa, I got a congresswoman right here in my office. And I respect that. But let me tell you something. I am more moved by what God thinks than I am by what she may think. You and I have got to get the resolve that we are moved by what God thinks of how you live, and not who accepts how you live or who endorses your lifestyle. You know, sometimes when you look at this, I used a young African-American boy this morning. He was just a young boy. And I said, you know what? You think certain things about me and you're cordial. But if it really got down to it, I wonder if you're thinking I'm much like all them other televangelists. I'm wondering if you're thinking I lace my pocket with the offering. I'm wondering if you're thinking I've got a Rolls Royce parked inside the garage and I just drive my Honda for a show. I'm wondering what you're really thinking about me. But did you know that time will cause that to surface? Do you know it's interesting that a person, as they think in their heart, their mouth will begin to speak. You see, you and I can pass judgment on people. We can say, well, I just don't think they ought to be in this church. I just don't think that that's something I should do. I'm not going to forgive that person. I just know all those pastors are a bunch of crooks. I knew something was going on with that Bishop Long. I just think somebody ought to do something. Listen, sweetheart, with all due respect, we don't really care what you think. Because it tells us the individual whose personality and behavior are acceptable to what God thinks. You may think it's okay to abort a baby in a woman's womb. You may think it's okay for two lesbians to marry. You may think it's okay that you live an adulterous lifestyle. You may think it's okay to hate your brother because his skin is a different pigment than yours. You may think it's all right to steal the tithe. But I don't really care what you think, because until you align yourself with what God thinks, you're not living by faith. Oh, come on, somebody. You need to thank God, because that's the truth. That's the truth. You know, we have to align to what God thinks. Our personality needs to become like God's personality. Do you know God is not rude? God is not rude. Did you know Sunday morning in America is still the 11 o'clock hour, the most segregated time in our nation? Yeah, but I think this way about those people. Doesn't matter what side of the race issue you're on, but let me just make you feel a little uncomfortable. Turn the air conditioning down a little bit so everybody feels cool. But you got to hear me now this morning, because the proof of our faith is how we live. It's not what we say. It's not where we go to church or how we buck and run or how we sing. It's how you live when nobody's watching. That's whether or not you and I have faith in God. I can't be persuaded by the majority. I can't be moved. I can't be influenced by the voices of the masses who are the antithesis of what God speaks and what God thinks. To have faith in God is to find out what he says and to what he thinks about the circumstance. That's why we don't have the luxury. We don't have the right to judge someone else's life. But God, while we were yet ornery little snotty-nosed sinners, come on, demonstrated his love for us that he died on a cross. Now, go back to my definition. I want you to read this with me now. Put my definition back up there, please. This is Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Read it with me. Ready? The individual whose personality and behavior are acceptable. Stop right there. I guess I've got to take inventory. Is my behavior and my personality acceptable? Now watch. Not by the people you have chosen to surround yourself so as to endorse your position, but rather, is it acceptable to God? And the only way you're going to know whether it's acceptable to God is get in the Word of God, because the Word of God is God's thoughts Oh, no, wait a minute. See, here's what Isaiah 58 said. He said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. So you and I have to have a spirit encounter to be able to interpret how God thinks about a thing. So if I'm going to live by faith, if we're going to raise up a generation that will not be influenced by what we see or by what we hear or by what the masses believe, but we're going to hold on to eternal truth, then we are going to have to delve into the Word of God and find out what God thinks about people who have made mistakes in their life. Because there's not a person in here this morning that hasn't made his mistake. Including me. So we read the definition. Just leave that up there. Just put it up there and just let it hang out for a while. All right, you ready? Let's read it again. Are you all with me so far? Am I keeping you too long? You okay? All right, let's go. Ready to read it. The individual whose personality and behavior are acceptable to what God thinks speaks. Stop. Acceptable to what God thinks, they speak. So that means you are not allowed to use derogatory terms about other people because you think you better. Let me break it down for you. Yeah, but they cheated me. Yeah, but they stole from me. Yeah, but they beat up my child on the bus. Now, if you're living by faith, you gotta act and think and then speak the way God does. Now, that's where the challenge comes by living by faith. Because we feel justified by the actions of others to retaliate. But God said this, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And we never take matters into our hands. But we, like Jesus, suspended between heaven and earth, hanging on a cruel, rugged cross, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, that's why it's so important to me that I am in a multicultural church. I cannot pastor a one ethnic church. I can't hardly attend those kind of churches. I have respect for them, but I just can't do it. I can't. You see, my behavior and personality must mirror God's. And I must speak and act as one who loves, seeks, relies on, hopes in, obeys, and trusts in God. Now that's a monumental thing to do in the natural, but in the spirit. That's why you and I, when we receive his spirit, you can't do it by might. You can't do it by power. I can't be forgiven enough. I can't be loving enough. You see, outside of God, I'll kill you. It wasn't for Jesus, I'll be hurting you, man. You know what I'm talking about? But with God, come on, all things are possible. I can call you my brother. I can forgive you. I can love you. I can walk with you. I can go to church with you. I can hang out with you. I can eat with you because I have no judgment on you. Somebody say, have faith in God. Faith in God. Oh, say it again. Have faith in God. Faith in Look at somebody and say, have faith in God. Faith in God. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's all about how you live as to whether or not you have faith. Some people have so much knowledge about the word, they're scary. They didn't need Jesus to die for their sins. They got the Bible memorized. They know the deep things of God. They can quote it. They can do all kinds of crazy things in the spirit. They see stuff. You know, they like to see angels and stuff. And that's cool if you can see that stuff. But they can't even love their brother. And so here it is. The Word made flesh. I say it again. If knowledge was enough to save you, Jesus could have stayed in heaven. Because He was the Word. But ladies and gentlemen, it's coming down to it. We've got to get our faith up. We've got to raise our level of faith through our personality and behavior that we are acting and speaking like God acts and speaks. See, we've got to challenge some of this stuff that we have learned in our religiosity, in our backgrounds, in our church cultures, in all of this persuasion of those who have told us that it's acceptable and it's good. And it uses the Bible to try to convince us. People use the Bible to hate. People use religion to kill. But God said, have faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. Live. Live the way I think. But when we talk about having faith in God, did you know Hebrews chapter 11 talks about faith as a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen? But you know, that's a powerful sermon, and there's been great sermons on that. And I can't even come close to some of the oratory that has been that been delivered. But I just want you to know something about the people in that chapter. I don't know much about the theology, but I know a lot about the people. And all I know is God said peoples and not steeples. It's not about the church building. It's about the people who are the real church. It's about you and me living and raising our family and having a marriage and going to do business and loving one another and making an impact in our communities. It's having faith in God, that God is able to change my heart. If I came into the kingdom of God prejudiced, I can lose it at the cross. If I came in the kingdom of God as an adulterer, I can find forgiveness and get peace. If I came in the cross as depressed and overcome and possessed by demonic powers, I can be free and I can have the trust of God operating in my life. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's all about having faith in God. That's why Abel had a sacrifice of faith. It was a sacrifice of faith. It was an act, a natural act that pleased God. He offered God what he wanted. It was a sacrifice of faith. What about Enoch? It was a walk of faith. When nobody was walking, he was walking. When nobody was going to church, he was still showing up at prayer meeting. When nobody else believed in God, he was still believing in God. He walked by faith. And what about Abraham? Abraham left everything that was comfortable. Abraham left everything that was familiar, looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. And wandered around trying to find it and having faith in God while he walked and wandered. What about Daniel in the lion's den? Under great persecution and great harm, had faith in God. He had a prayer of faith. And what about Elijah? The Bible mentions so many of them who called down fire from heaven, who had a faith in his faith in God. And what about David, who stood against the Goliath of his day and said, I have success not in what I know and not in the armaments of man, but in my covenant with the living God. He had faith in his success in God. And what about Moses, a fugitive and a murderer on the backside of a desert, who the Bible says his works were works of faith? Ladies and gentlemen, this is all about how you and I live. And we don't have to pre-qualify. That's the beauty about this whole thing. We don't have to pre-qualify for this life of faith. We just have to have faith in God. And the Bible simply says if you'll confess with your mouth and you'll believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, you can be saved. See, some people in this room have baby faith, just baby faith. See, you still don't like everybody. But you stay here long enough, I'm going to work on you. I'm going to work on you. You know that old song, make me love everybody, make me love everybody. I'll make you. You made me love you. I didn't like it when I first came to this church, but man, I'm starting to like that guy now. I'm going to make you love me. I'm going to be in your face with all God's love. Come on, look over at somebody, squeeze their hand and say, I'm going to love you anyway. Come on, I'm going to love you anyway. Doesn't matter, because I know that I have faith in God. When I think about simple people like Gideon, the least of all the tribes of Israel, hiding out in a wine press, and God showing up and saying, hey, mighty man of valor, and saying, you must be talking to the wrong church. And he had the success of faith, the victory of faith. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you came from. I want you to know today that if you'll have a faith encounter with God, you're going to be introduced to one of the most exciting seasons of your entire life. And if you've gotten bored with church, maybe that's good. Maybe you've gotten tired of religion. Maybe that's good too. Maybe you just need to take a leap of faith, because we're at 13,000 and it's time. God said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says after death, it's appointed unto man that one time to die and then judgment. Every one of us will give an account for our life. The books will be open, the scripture says. And whosoever name has not been found written in the Lamb's book of life will be cast away eternally from the presence of God. Death one time is hard enough, let alone to die twice. There'll be a second death for those whose name is not written in the Lamb's book of life. Revelation tells us that at the end of all times, God himself will raise the living and dead. They'll stand before him. So you could have even gone through your funeral, and without Christ, will be raised again only to die a second time. But if you'll be born twice instead of once, you can avoid the second death. That's why Jesus said, ye must be born again. I want to say today, faith has little to do with what we understand or accept of our theology. Faith has to do with our relationship to God, revealed by our behavior. The prophet Habakkuk, he identified those who choose to live according to his pride as not being accepted to God. What is it when a man or a woman chooses to live by their pride? To live by your pride is basically to say, I don't need God's help. I don't really care how God thinks, and I don't really care how God acts. I can do it myself. Ladies and gentlemen, there are a number of people in this room who could stand before you and testify that they tried that and it doesn't work. It's like me getting in that airplane and forgetting to hook up with my tandem partner. Jumping out of that plane at 13,000 feet because I think I know how to do it. But when it comes down to it and the ground is fast approaching, I need somebody's help. The Bible says that tomorrow is not promised to any man. That today is a day of salvation. That if you put your faith and trust in God today, you could have eternal life. I remember coming down on that tandem parachute jump. It was a beautiful sight overlooking Oahu, the Hawaiian Islands at 13,000 feet coming down through the clouds. My tandem partner said, now listen, when we get to the ground, just put your feet straight up. He said, when you do that, I'll control everything and we'll land and everything will be fine unless we get into trouble. If we get into trouble, I'm going to tell you, put your feet down and start running to hold me up. I said, okay, no problem. So we were coming down. He said, feet up, feet up, feet up. And then all of a sudden he said, feet down, feet down, feet down. We're in trouble, we're in trouble. I said, oh, Jesus. I mean, I thought it was over. Oh, I just see those papers that I signed. I saw that video. I was seeing my wife overlook my casket and say, I loved him so much. I mean, I saw the end, man. It was like scary. My feet hit the ground. I started running. We stopped. I was in a heap on the ground. The adrenaline was flowing so fast. My heart was pumping so hard. I just fell in a heap and I was shaking. I went, even if I wanted to, I couldn't have spoken tongues. I was like a piece of rubber. And I tried to walk and my legs were. And they said, how was it? I said, it was great. I said, I'm alive. My wife thought I was so crazy. She said, I am not going with you. You are a nutcase. She stayed back at the hotel. When I got there, you know, by that time my heart had settled down and I was back somewhat to normal. She said, how'd it go? I said, honey, it's the time of my life. It was cool. It was great. Truth be known, I barely made it. And the facts are, some of you are trying to be too cool in your life. If the truth be known, you're barely making it. And you might as well do what I've done, or what hundreds have done. Say, God, without you, I can't make it. But if you'll put your hand in the hand of the man, he'll lift you up, give you a hope, and give you a future. And so would you with me now bow your heads and let's pray together? Because I believe that God, by his Holy Spirit, is here to minister to every person in this room. See, those who live in humility and faithful dependence on God are those that meet his approval. It's all about your heart. And if today you're here and you know that if you were to die tonight, you don't know whether you'd go to heaven or hell. Or maybe you believe you'd come back as a chicken or as another person or as a tree. Or you think you'd go into oblivion, but you're not sure. The Holy Spirit is here today. And as Jesus 2,000 years ago looked at his disciples and said, have faith in God. He's simply offering you and me the opportunity to live our life the way God thinks. Nobody looking around. You say, Pastor, you know what? I need God's love. If I've ever needed love before, I need it now. And I need prayer. Man, I don't know about you, but I can raise my hand on that one. If that's you, would you just kindly hold your hand up high enough so I can see it? Yeah, I need God's love. Okay, yeah, me too. Anyone else? I need God's love in my life. I need it operating in my life. Hey, man, Christians are praying all around you because every one of us have been in that position before. Every one of us. And it's all about making a decision to jump. You say, well, I believe in God. Well, so did that guy's wife, that woman's husband. But he wouldn't put his hand in the bucket. Some of you say, well, I believe in God, but you haven't received Christ. The Bible says there is no other way to heaven but through Jesus Christ. And it's simply receiving him as your personal Lord and Savior. So I acknowledge today that we need faith in God. And I implore you to have faith in God. All over this room, nobody looking, you say, Pastor, pray for me. One last time, if you didn't raise your hand, would you raise it right now? Not to me, but to God. Because I don't really mean anything. It's all about you and God. Amen. In a moment, I'm going to have you stand. Thank you for your acknowledgement. And I'm going to have these beautiful prayer partners to stand across the front of this great hall. And we want to pray with you. You know what I needed when I hit the ground that day was somebody to hold on to me. Look up at me. Do you need somebody to hold on to you? Sometimes you do. I remember visiting a lady not long ago. The whole world came tumbling down. As soon as my wife and I walked into her house, she took one look at us and fell in a heap, crying in tears, screaming out, help me, God. Maybe you're not at that point, but you need somebody to hold you. Sometimes I get home after church. Sometimes I've had a real stressful week, like this past week. And all I need is for Tina to take my head and just hold me. She doesn't have to say anything. I just need to be held. That's what we want to do. We want to pray for you, and we want to hold you emotionally. So altar ministers, would you be so kind to come and put a big smile on your face? Because it's always easier to come to somebody that's smiling than it is at somebody that's frowning. You know what I'm talking about? That's exactly what I'm talking about. So would you now stand with me, please, everybody in the audience? Thank you. If you raise your hand or you need prayer for any reason, would you step out from where you are and let us pray with you? All the way from the back to the side, from one end to the other. And we want to agree with you that God is able and God is willing. So let's do it right now. Come on. You look at somebody this morning and say, sweetheart, if you raise your hand, I'll go with you. Take them by the hand. And then walk them down to the front of this altar. And let them find a place of solace and comfort and prayer. And today you're making a decision to say, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to have faith in God. Let's worship one time, would you? Come on, lift your hands up. Let's worship. Would you sing that with me? Turn your eyes. Come on.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face.
And the things of this world.
And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory.
One more time. Turn your eyes.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face.
And the things.
And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory.
Now, before we're dismissed, while people are praying here, it's a very tender moment. Maybe you're here with family. Maybe you're here with friends. But what a great place and what a great atmosphere to just extend to one another the love and the peace of God. Maybe a handshake or a hug and just let them know how much God really loves them. Can we do that before we're dismissed? Come on, turn to somebody right now, would you? We'll see you next time, Wednesday night, on the Book of Revelation. Please be friendly with one another as you leave the auditorium. If you're here for the dinner, we'll be proceeding in the youth hall in just a few moments. God bless you.